I'm Storm Team 12's Chip Chapman with your right now forecast, ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Clouds and sunshine as we head through the day. Cooler, high around 64. Overnight tonight, more clouds and 43. Tomorrow, more sunshine, just a few clouds, and the afternoon high only near 60.
Be more weather aware with Storm Team 12 and Chattanooga sports leader, ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Listening to Press Row on Chattanooga's sports leader, ESPN 105.1 The Zone at ESPNChattanooga.com.
Welcome back in the Press Row here in the Home Rate Mortgage Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show, playing some New Order. Don't you know Wes Rucker was cutting a groove to this song on Cumberland Avenue back in the day?
Not only that, I bet when it came on the into his headset right here, he had a little bit of the Night at the Roxbury guys with a little head bob going on.
All right, he's definitely one of our favorite guests, a TFP for lifer, Wes Rucker, who does a great job covering all things Tennessee with Tennessee's 24/7 sports site. Wes, how the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty well, guys, although I got to be honest with you. Yesterday, Feinbaum played Freebird for the intro when I came in for the segment, so good luck topping that.
Yeah, two very different tunes there.
I got to be Freebird. First time in my life, they were like, "Play Freebird," and it was me, so that was kind of awesome.
Well, kudos. Another notch on the belt. All right, we're going to get to football. Want to ask you about the Lady Vols. Is Holly Warlick, I know they have a great signing class coming in. We know the situation there, 42-26 these last 2 years, not exactly Tennessee material. Is she safe, or would have something already been done by this point?
You know, I think probably something would have had to have been done by now. But the other part of it is the simple fact that in a couple weeks, I guess a week and a half or so, there'll be a new athletic director officially in town. So that sort of complicates things, I would imagine. But I think probably Curry is not a guy who's averse to change. He's not a guy who's averse to making hard decisions. But I just can't imagine that he'd walk in on the first week of the job and say, "Holly Warlick, Tennessee icon, you're gone." I don't see that happening. I think when you look at that and then you look at the number one recruiting class coming in, I think she's probably got another year. Now, beyond that, obviously that makes next year huge, but I think because of a couple of different factors, I just don't see anything happening imminently. But it's Tennessee, so I absolutely never say never.
Wes, I tell you what stunned me. I wasn't stunned by Monday night's outcome at all, given, you know, where it was and how Tennessee is a team that can knock off Mississippi State and lose to Alabama. What shocked me on television were just how few Lady Vols fans were there. I mean, that is not a long trip to make from Knoxville. Have you seen that? Has that been the case at home games? Has the attendance just gone way down from back in the day?
It seems like it's gone down, but I think you have to be careful there because attendance just about every major sport seems to be going down because of, you know, all these HD TVs and the comforts of home and the price of tickets. And, you know, you have to pay so much for cable or satellite anyway these days that once you've got it in the house already, you tend to just kind of stay there with your own refreshments and chips and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think, and Lady Vols attendance also gets marked by actual butts in the seats and not the paid attendance figures. So I do think that those numbers have gone down and that has been an impact in this. But honestly, I think that game was at Louisville, so you're going to see some of that. But yeah, you normally see more orange in the stands anywhere for a women's basketball game. It used to be anywhere they'd go on the road, they'd almost have as many fans as the opponent, it felt like, most places. So yeah, I mean, that is a factor, but I think the biggest factor is just the overall wins and losses, and the fact that for just the second time in history, they're not in the Sweet 16, which is just a staggering statistic.
All right, let's move on to Tennessee started spring football yesterday. What was your biggest takeaway from the opening day of workouts?
Well, I tend to take all this with a bit of the grain of salt, because, you know, it's 6 months from the season starting. A third of the team isn't there because of injuries, or they're not on campus yet, and they're not even in full pads. So there's a lot of things that go into me going, it's spring football. But, yeah, you know, I think that I've heard good things about Rock Gullickson and the strength and conditioning program, and I can see, especially with some of the linemen, the offensive linemen, they just look like bigger, more imposing guys. They're weak or I guess thin in some areas, but you'd expect that for everyone in the spring. Trey Smith's an absolute manimal. I expected that to be the case, and that was the case. I think that there's a bit of a misnomer when people saying this team doesn't have talent. This team's going to have plenty of talent. What this team's not going to have is the faces that everyone's been seeing for the past 4 years, the leaders, the Dobbses and the, you know, Cam Suttons, Derek Barnett's, Jalen Reese-Mabins, those guys aren't there anymore. That's the biggest difference I see.
Wes, even though Dormady's the older kid, Garantano, you talk about misnomers and everything. There's the thought out there that Garantano is going to be the guy because he fits Butch Jones' system. Is that any truth to that?
I think that's a fair argument. You know, the argument I still make is, at the end of the day, I think from everything I've seen from Butch Jones, the most Butch Jones thing he'll do is pick the guy who takes best care of the football and doesn't make mistakes, which is weird because at Cincinnati, and you know, he would kind of be all to the wall there, and he would go make those big changes. He would go with some of the greatest trick plays I've ever seen were from his days at Cincinnati, and some of the stuff they would pull out. But since he's been at Tennessee, he's been a tad bit more conservative in a lot of those ways. And I think with you know, the little bit of the talent that they've got, they've got some good receivers. I think they've got at least one, maybe two good running backs with a third coming in, a couple of good tight ends. I think he might go with the guy who just takes the best care of the ball. So he won at Cincinnati and at Central Michigan with quarterbacks who ran and with quarterbacks who threw primarily. So he's done both things. But I think ultimately it'll be the guy who takes best care of the ball.
You're listening to Wes Rucker, who does a great job covering all things Volunteers for Tennessee's 24/7 site. You're listening to Wes here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
My man, you mentioned the UT new strength and conditioning coach. Do you think that parents pigeonhole their kids more by naming a kid Rock, who is destined to be a strength and conditioning coach, or naming a daughter Destiny and she's going to be on a pole somewhere?
Those are probably they've got to be up there. You know, if you name your kid Rock Gullickson, he's going to be one of two things or three things. He's going to be either a strength coach, an action movie star, or an adult movie star.
Yes.
That's pretty much the only three things you can be when your name is Rock Gullickson. So he thankfully had a talent for probably the most desirable of those three options.
All right. Because you have now been on the UT beat pushing a decade and more, what do you think will be the next coaching search you cover, football or women's basketball?
I'd say probably there's a better chance of women's basketball. I think if you want to go best case or safest bet, unfortunately, it looks like with Dave Serrano in the baseball program, that might be the best bet for the short term. But I would guess probably that you'd see a women's basketball before a football search again. I could be wrong about that because you know, if that football team goes 7-5 or something like that next season, you're gonna hear an awful lot of chatter, and that's gonna come down to the relationship between Curry and Butch Jones, because Curry, when he was the number two guy in the AD and Fulmer was the coach, he was the one banging the drum saying you need to innovate, you need to make changes. This program's getting stale. You know, Saban's at Alabama now. A lot of things are changing. Y'all need to kind of get with the program here. And he was met with a lot of resistance on that. So if Curry sees something he wants changed, he absolutely will say that. He has no qualms doing that. So if they go out there and struggle in football, well, that's going to come down to how much Butch and Curry can get on the same page probably.
Now, you mentioned a lot of the leadership and or familiarity that Tennessee football team is looking to replace, that's going to mean that in their effort to control the message that you guys get reintroduced to some quotes. Who are the guys that we're going to get to read a bunch from? I mean, who are going to be the go-to guys now that Dobbs is gone, now that Barnett's gone, now that Cam Sutton's gone? Who are going to be the go-to send-out guys on Monday?
Well, I'll tell you, the one that we would pick would be Juwan Jennings, but that's just not
happening. No, that's not happening. That is not happening.
I would say Juwan Jennings, Justin Martin, those would be the guys I'm like, please let me talk to those kids. But I don't think we've talked to Justin Martin once during his entire Tennessee football career. So, and he's a kid who walks over to us after practice and says, man, they won't let me talk to y'all. And I keep thinking in my head, well, I understand why. But, you know, I would say you're going to see a lot of Jayshon Robertson in that situation. You're going to see a lot of Darren Kirkland Jr. They're always going to throw Todd Kelly Jr. out there in front of you because I'm pretty sure Todd Kelly Jr. and Butch Jones share a brain. I think they actually are on the same wavelength pretty much all the time. I think those are three of the guys that you'll see a good bit. I think a guy like Ethan Wolf will probably be out there talking a lot. I'd like to see John Kelly talk some because he's kind of got that Alvin Kamara in him where he won't say anything stupid, but he'll also have some fun, and I think that'll be entertaining for us. But I think those three or four names I just mentioned are going to be the ones that you see out there pretty frequently. And I would imagine Colton Jumper, Chattanooga's own Colton Jumper, will get a lot of interviews too because Butch Jones and Bob Shute both love the guy.
Now, quickly, we had Josh Dobbs on last week, and he says Alvin Kamara has the best Butch Jones impression. Have you heard that?
Just once, and it was really, really good. So I think the other guy, Jalen Reeves-Maben, had a pretty good one. I've heard that one a couple times. But, yeah, there's a couple guys on the team who can do it. But I think the funniest thing was Kamara would be the one who absolutely would not care if he gave that impression to Butch Jones' face. So Kamara he's kind of got one of these qualities where he can always be kind of him.
Right.
Because Tennessee's always been, they're always so big on don't wear your hat backwards, don't have any jewelry in when you're doing interviews. And Kamara would walk out there with his bull ring in and his fake grill, and he's like, deal with it. You want me to talk or not? And so everyone, he just kind of had his own rules, but everyone loved Alvin, so it was fine. So yeah, he's always been one of those kind of free spirits who's been a fun guy to be around.
You're listening to Wes Rucker of Tennessee's 24/7 site here on Press Row. Wes, you had the story about Stephen Griffin transferring. You point out in the article that when you think of Todd Kelly, Mike Abernathy, Barry Golden, Warrior, I mean, how good they are back there and how much experience and potential they have back there. Report today, Gavin Bryant, wasn't it yesterday's practice, may also be leaving. And you think about Darren Kirkland, Cortez McDowell, you mentioned Colton Jumper. If the guys come back healthy on the defensive front, I mean, this was a defense, Wes, that I saw the stat. They gave up like 1.13 miles in their last three regular season games. But this
it was a Steve Prefontaine kind of defense,
yes,
basically, yeah.
But this could be a potentially much better defense this year, could it not? And I know you can say it's hard to get worse, but with all the guys they've got back, even though they do lose a couple, like Sutton and Barnett, I mean, this could be a very good defense, couldn't it?
It could. Now, the questions are going to come up front, I think. There's two questions, and there's two questions you don't want to have. They're on the defensive line, and they're a cornerback. But I've said it all throughout last year. I'm going to keep saying it now. People are going to think I'm crazy. I don't think Bob Shute turned into a moron overnight. I don't think he became one of the best defensive minds in the game over a decade, then came to Tennessee, started just woofing down stupid pills, and all of a sudden doesn't know how to coach defense. I think he's a good coach. I think he's going to be all right. I think he knows what he's doing. And I think this year you're going to see some changes. I think you're going to see them go more 4-3 as opposed to that kind of 4-2-5 nickel base they've done the past couple years. And I think Daryl Taylor off the edge is a really good prospect. If Kyle Phillips can actually get healthy and stay healthy, that's huge. I mean, you're talking about one of the top 30 prospects in the country just 3 years ago. He could be a guy like Josh Malone who doesn't emerge really until later in his career, but then becomes a force. You know, I think they've got pieces there. Kongbo off the edge. They've got guys. Or as some of the coaches on the Georgia staff would say, they got dudes. That's a dude right there. That guy's a dude. They got some dudes, but the question is, do they have enough of them? I think they might, but they do have questions in some areas where you don't want to have them.
And Wes, I guess before we let you go, you've talked a lot of football. You talked some Lady Vols. You even mentioned Dave Serrano. Rick Barnes through two seasons. I know the one loss record isn't great, but are the higher ups pretty happy with the progress he's making, even though it hadn't been quick?
I think so. I think there are some people who still would like to see the attendance numbers go back up a little bit, because Tennessee's kind of gone from being top six, top seven nationally in attendance every year to kind of in that 15-ish range or wherever they are right now. And I think that that's sort of taken some people by surprise, because normally this is a pretty darn good basketball fan base, which I think would surprise people who don't live in this area, but it's the truth. There are a lot of Tennessee basketball diehards. But I think that what he's building in that program, I mean, if they get better point guard play next season, that's a really good team. I think that's a team that over the next couple of years, Rick Barnes fully expects to be competing, you know, toward the top third, maybe even for an SEC title. I really like the kid from France they're bringing in, Yves Pond. He's one of the best athletes I've seen Tennessee recruit in basketball, period. They're going to have more size next year. I really like what he's building there. The question is, can one of those young point guards be the guy who gets it done, or do they have to bring in a graduate transfer to run the show? But one way or the other, by hook or by crook, they're going to get their point guard play, and I think they're going to be pretty good next year.
Wes, as always, great stuff, talking all things Tennessee. You can read Wes's stuff on Tennessee's 24/7 Sports. Does a wonderful, wonderful job, and we thank you, as always, for joining us here on Press Row.
No problem, guys. Happy to do it. TFP for life!
Wes Rucker joining us here on Press Row. We'll reopen the Hardee's hotline. 648-1051 is your number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.